Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Saturday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The stars are aligning. Our platforms are working. And we are here tonight live with Scott Johnson on Building Fortunes Radio. This is a very special segment. We do this one. It's going to be for 9 years, I've been informed. 9 straight years, one of our longest-running segments on buildingfortunesradio.com. We're at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the Central side. We do a radio show with Scott Johnson, and the way this whole thing got started, I'm going to be brief, is I did a radio show. Well, we've been running Building Fortunes Radio for about 12 years, so maybe a little bit more than that. And one of the things that I did was I wanted to kind of share with people some of the things that happened in home-based businesses, network marketing companies specifically. So I believe in, you know, the positive stuff that happens in home-based businesses and the negative stuff that sometimes happens in any industry, including this one. So I did a radio show with Roger Van Vlissingen. Roger's a real cool dude, super-duper smart, writes for Seeking Alpha as well as many other outlets. And basically, Roger is one of those people who doesn't think MLM could ever be done right. It's just not in the human genome or human nature for it to be done right. There's no such thing as a good one. Roger's pretty negative when it came to MLM. But he was credible, and he had a lot of really serious comments to make. So I did a radio show or two with him and E. Robert Smith, and they brought some guests as well. Well, Scott Johnson called me up after one of those radio shows and said, you know, there's something that no one's talking about. And I said, what's that, Scott? And he said, the tool scam associated with MLM. And I had never spoken to Scott before. We were having a nice conversation. It was a lengthy one. It was actually on Labor Day, which is how we date our anniversary date, if you will. Because on Labor Day, nobody else was calling me at that time, so I had a chance to spend some time on the phone with him. And unlike other people I've spent on the phone, like, you know, the anti-MLM trolls, when I was speaking with Scott, we had a really nice conversation. I invited him to be on one of our radio shows, and the tool scam that he was referencing, we kind of deduced that he was thinking about the same, or he was talking about the same one that I was thinking about, which was with Amway. So I had joined Amway 3 separate times in the pursuit of finding out about MLM, and each time I quit, mostly because the focus was on recruiting, not so bad, because if you're a sales organization, your focus should be on recruiting, more salespeople, but they were definitely promoting their tools, the books, the tapes, and the functions. And I said, there's more money being spent by these individuals, including what they wanted me to do, on tools than there is on product. It doesn't make any sense because we're paid on product. We're not paid on tools. Somebody's got to be paid on tools, so I quit 3 separate times. So I'm going to cut that short. Scott said, hey, I've done whole things and research about this. So we've done lots of radio shows on the Amway tool scam. And if you've listened to us at all, you might be a first-time listener, as we have many of them. You can pick up on previous radio shows with Scott. If you go to buildingforgeradio.com, /Scott-Johnson, you'll be able to see it. But Scott's got his own website, too, with a lot more information about this and other things. Sometimes we do the radio shows ourselves. Sometimes we do with guests, and tonight we have a guest, so I'm going to kind of step out of the way as fast as I can. I learn more when my lips aren't moving. So, Scott Johnson, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me. And, yeah, you're right. I think it's going to probably be the week after Labor Day. That'll be our 9-year weekly radio show, and we've only missed, wow. I think the count is 5, because each of us had a son or daughter that got married. And of course, those normally happen on Saturdays. There was one that was on a holiday, you know, like a Christmas holiday, so that didn't seem to be the right thing to do. And you took a well-deserved 2-week vacation back to your home state and home city of New York a few years ago, and we just took 2 weeks off. But other than that, I mean, you busted your ankle one time midweek, and we did the show. I was in the hospital one time we did the show. So there's very few times that we haven't done this. So we're up, you know, in the 450 show, you know, unique show category right now. And I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate your dedication to this show too, to keep it going, because I think it's very important what we do, getting this message out. And I'm going to keep it short too, because we have an outstanding guest tonight. And you mentioned the tool scam, and I just want to go over that a little bit for the new listeners that may not understand what we're talking about. And you briefly mentioned books, tapes, and functions, which was, you know, back in our day, you know, there was the books, there was the cassette tapes, which eventually became CDs, and now they're MP3, MP4 electronic downloads to your phone or computer. But there's still the meetings, there's still the books. There's also things like website access, phone apps, voicemail. There's all these different sources of profit. And what I've done is I've put them on my websites, cases where these people that got kicked out, they start talking. And usually they're bragging about their new MLM, how it pays out so much better than Amway did. And these are my words. They would say things like, and again, this is my verbiage, I don't have to scan my downline anymore with tools. So, and my poster child for this claim is a guy by the name of Brig Hart. It's B-R-I-G-H-A-R-T. So you can go on my website. You can go on the internet. You can Google Brig Hart, Salt Lake City, because he gave an interview to a Salt Lake City media outlet. And he said, oh, yeah, when I was in Amway, I was making almost $1 million a year from Amway. And I was making $8 to $10 million a year from the tools. And there's several other examples of people that say similar things, not to the 10-time extent. I was talking to Maury earlier today about even if it's only twice as much, that means that two-thirds of your profit is coming from the tools and not from Amway. And the thing that makes this a scam, because I'm not against people making money. You know, I'm a free enterprise, capitalist kind of guy. But if you lie by omission, if you leave it out, if you give every indication that your success came from Amway and not from the tools, you know, your financial success, then you're lying. You're basically committing business fraud, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. I think that's even RICO fraud, if you're familiar with that term, R-I-C-O. It was a law written back in the 1970s to cover the mafia. And it's been used since to go against various white-collar crimes, not just the mafia, but other companies and individuals. It's a hard law to prove. There's a lot of steps you have to go through. So you know, I think the government normally does not go after RICO. They'll go after business fraud more frequently, unless they have a real solid case with the RICO. But regardless, you know, in my mind, it's illegal, and I'm trying to get more attention towards that. So that's problem number one. And like you said, Peter, you know, where's this money going? Because it's not going to the lower-level distributors. You know, in Amway and any other MLM, everybody gets paid by the MLM. Now, the bigger your organization is, you know, the more products that are flowing through it, the more money you make, obviously. But that's how it works. With the tool scam, it all goes to the very top. Normally, it's the platinums and above that are making the money. And the platinums aren't even making that much money compared to what they make from Amway. You know, they might make 20-30% from what they make in Amway. But then when it gets up to the emerald and diamond level, it starts to be multiple times what they were making from Amway. So that's, you know, that's the tool scam, and that's why we call it a scam. I call it a scam because they're just lying by omission. They're giving every indication to the prospects and the downline that, oh, yeah, Amway's a great business. Here's all the money, you know, that comes from it and all this. But they hardly ever mention most of the profit comes from the tools. So unless you get kicked out and then they start talking, and that's why I have those websites to collect that information so that people can find it, because it's all different decades, all different lines of sponsorship. It's all over the board, and it's so common. It's unbelievable. Not that every single Amway organization does that, but most of them do, probably at least 95% would be my estimate on that. The other big problem, because not all MLMs have tool scams, but the other big problem with MLMs is the lack of retail sales. And when I say retail sales, I'm referring to somebody who is not an IBO or a distributor buying the products or services, right? Because there are MLMs out there that sell insurance and so forth. So it could be a service versus a physical product. But if you don't have free market demand, in other words, customers, then it's pretty much the same thing as the old chain letter that asks you to put, you know, a dollar in the envelope and then ask, you know, five other people to put dollars in envelopes and funnel it to the top. And you can Google that term, chain letter, if you're not familiar with it. Also, the airplane game back in the 1980s, same concept, just a little bit different verbiage. And then the modern-day gifting schemes. These are things where, you know, somebody puts together an idea where you put in, let's say, $1,500, and then you get four other people to give you $1,500, and help those four people get four people each to give them $1,500. And then after you go through three or four generations, you cash out. You might make $20,000 or whatever the number is. And those are, of course, highly illegal as well. But with an MLM, if you don't have retail sales, then – and generally MLMs, the products are very overpriced as well. You know, typically two to three times what you might find in the marketplace for a similar product. And so if you don't have real advantages of that product being more expensive, then what you have basically is the first part of the purchase is legitimate, just like you could find at any physical or online store. But the second portion of that purchase is exactly like these gifting schemes and airplane games and chain letters I've been talking about. And so it's kind of a mixed situation where you have part legitimate and part not legitimate. I kind of use the analogy, you know, it's like putting instead of chocolate chips in a chocolate chip cookie, you put in X-Wax. You know, it ruins the whole recipe. So so that's really the definition of an illegal pyramid, is the lack of retail sales. Even if the price is at or below what you can find in the market, if the quality is poor, or your customer service is poor, or your delivery is slow, or any other number of things, if you don't have the retail sales because of, you know, just not good value, that can also be considered an illegal pyramid, because the real important thing is retail sales. You either have them or you don't. And so that's the two things, the lack of retail sales being an illegal pyramid, and then tool scam being RICO or business fraud. And I'll stop there because we have an excellent guest. And I want to do a quick introduction here to Maury Spies, who I found on YouTube. I think it was yesterday. I just was looking around. I saw this video about him being approached to join LTD, which is one of the organizations, these tool scam organizations. There are several of them. And he gave his story on YouTube. And it was exactly, Peter, like we've been hearing from other people, and we've had a lot on this show from LTD, which is good, because I view them as the most sort of extreme of the organizations out there. Not that the other ones are good, don't get me wrong, but but it really is an extreme organization. So, Maury, if you can sort of just introduce yourself, you know, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, however much you want to talk about, you know, your background, you know, your earlier life before Amway, and, you know, how you were approached and how things went. I just want to welcome you to the show, because there's some other things I want to talk about as well after we talk about Amway that you're doing, and I want to bring those things up too. But let's cover the Amway stuff first, and then we'll get into the other good stuff. Just welcome to the show, Maury. Go right ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maury Spies. And I am currently residing in North Carolina. And let's see here, where do we start here? Born and raised here in North Carolina. Got a degree from Greensboro College in sport administration. Growing up, I ran track. I played football all the way to the level of going to the NFL Combine. So I almost went pro in football. Outside of that, I've worked in different career fields. I've worked in Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, worked there for 10 years. I've also been a personal trainer at the YMCA and for myself within my own business. I've also delivered mail. I worked for USPS for a couple of years. And now I currently drive trucks for public services here in North Carolina. And I also recently started a business doing relationship, dating, and marriage coaching. I am the creator of 6monthsandmarried.com, where we help men and women get on that path to marriage in a short period of time. So, you know, I wear quite a few hats. You know, anything else I can add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that website you just talked about. It's the number 6, right?
Yes.
So if you go to the number 6, and what's the rest of it, 6 months and married?
Yep, 6monthsandmarried.com.
Yes, yeah, 6 months
on
and married.
On that course, I have a, yep. And on there I have a course, and I also offer coaching calls. Right, so there's a course you can take. Short course that won't take you long at all, and I also offer coaching calls on there.
Yes, yes. So, and we'll cover this again at the end of the show too. I want to make sure people understand who you are, because you also have 2 YouTube channels. One is a little bit older, and then there's a newer one. If you can help people find you on YouTube.
Okay, yes. So I have 2 YouTube channels. My first YouTube channel was Maury Speece the Beast. Maury Speece the Beast. My second YouTube channel is just Speece the Beast. Now, that's the one where I'm mostly active on. I'm building it up. That's where you're more likely to find me, and the fastest way to reach me is going to be on Speece the Beast. Maury Speece is an older one and has a lot more subscribers. But I've been having some issues trying to access it lately because there's a different it's used by my college email address, and I'm having a little malfunction with that. But the quickest way to – the more modern, the more updated, it's going to be the Speece the Beast YouTube channel.
Yeah, and just for people typing that in, it's M-A-U-R-Y, Maury, and then S-P-E-A-S-E, Speece, the Beast. And you've got a lot of great content on both of those channels. You know, I highly recommend people check out both of those channels on YouTube. Is there anything else, you know, as far as social media presence or websites or anything like that?
Yes. You can also follow me on Facebook or friend me on Facebook, Maury Speece, first name, last name. I'm also on Instagram as Speece the Beast. Speece the Beast on Instagram, and on TikTok, Maury Speece on TikTok. I'm also on TikTok. Yes.
And we're going to make sure that Maury has a guest page, so you'll be able to. He'll put all of these links on the Building Fortunes Radio guest page, so you'll be able to find Maury Speece on Building Fortunes Radio. And there's a place for Maury when you put the guest page together for you. You'll be able to put your Facebook site, your Instagram, or anything else that you want. And I have a curiosity question for you. You ready?
Yes.
When you were playing football, what were your positions? Like, what was your position or your favorite positions when you were in advanced football? Or whatever. Give us the whole chronology.
The whole thing? Okay, cool. So, growing up, you know, I always played defensive back. So, I played corner safety on defense. And on offense, I played running back. I played wide receiver. Played slot. On defense, believe it, I started off playing my first year. I played defensive end, and then kind of went into the cornerback. So defensive back was my primary position when I leaving out of high school, going into college, and also what I when I tried out for professional teams, I was at defensive back.
Wow, perfect.
And Maury and I were speaking earlier today. I said, you know, because I played 1 year of football, as you know, Peter, and I described this to Maury too. I was just too skinny to keep going on it. But anyway, you know, I always considered the defensive back, particularly the cornerback, to be the best overall athlete on the field because, you know, you have to be able to cover the fastest wide receiver, you know, and keep up with him. You have to be able to run backwards almost as fast as that person can run forward. You have to be able to react to everything, and you have to be able to stop like a sweep coming around the end. So, you know, you got to be fast and tough and agile and just, you know, all kinds of athletic skills to do that position.
Crazy
so
it's, crazy you know, health, right,
yeah.
Maury?
Yes. And let me also add this. I ran track, too. So
What was your best event?
My best event, believe it or not, was the 800. So I ran sprints, and I ran distance. I ran a mile, like I can run a five-minute mile. Like, but my best event was the 800.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah,
I had a college roommate who ran the 800 as well. He described it as the most difficult distance because it's not a distance run like mile, you know, in 10,000 and marathon. It's also not a sprint, but it's right in the middle. I mean, you have to go really fast for a pretty long time. And it's considered just the most difficult distance, to dominate. So that's really interesting, particularly for a football player. I was thinking you were going to say 60 yards or 100 yards or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's what was your best 40 time?
I ran a 4.42 at a Canadian League football tryout. Yeah, I ran a 4.42 for a Canadian League football workout. Yep, sure did.
That is world class. That's amazing. That's amazing. Right. Yeah. Sorry, Peter, did you have another question?
No, that was it. I was just kind of curious. I love football. So I love football. I love the game, but I don't love it now because it became political. So I stopped watching when they started kneeling.
Oh, I know, right.
Yep.
Yeah,
so when they started kneeling, I stopped
like
watching. I'm done. But I always loved it. I thought football was like a parallel to life. Like there were so many things I learned on the football field. And I still – one of my favorite motivational speeches, you know, if you know, is Al Pacino, Any Given Sunday. That is life.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We fight for those inches. We fight for those inches. There's something magical about that. So I learned a lot on the football field. So.
But I will say this, I haven't seen anyone kneel in a while. I will say that.
That's a good thing, yeah. That's a good thing.
So maybe they're done kneeling, you know.
And I was talking to Maury earlier too, Peter, telling him about how you played on both sides of the ball on a very regular basis. Then he told me, I wanted to play both sides too, but, you know, the coaches, I guess you did it in high school more than college because it gets much more specialized in college. You can't have any fatigue.
I never left
so.
The field. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was in high school, it was a different world then. You know, when I was in high school, it was a different world. It was in, I guess, the 70s. And I never left the field. I played offensive, defensive, special teams. I never left the field. So, and, you know, because you can do that sort of stuff. Hurt like hell. Probably I got enough concussions to say I got some brain damage. You know, I got
brain damage
a long time ago. And, I could tell you, well, anyway. And the only thing with me, and it's not about me, I didn't pursue what you were pursuing because I wanted to be a doctor. And it's really hard to be an athlete in college and then also be an academic in something as competitive as pre-med. So my doctor told me, don't do it. Don't play football because your grades are going to slip. And if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a professional football player, you know, you can try. And I don't think I was good enough to be pro. I'm not delusional enough. Okay. I was big but not big enough, fast but not fast enough. You know, pro is, you know, the exclusive, and I just wasn't there. So although I was good, I wasn't that good. So I just said, well, if I'm not that good, I don't want to have my whole thing, you know, busted up knee, busted up shoulder, busted up whatever. I'm going to go to the doctor. So I said, I'm going to give it up. So it was one of those things where when I went to college, I didn't play, but, and I'm not bad, not mad about my decision, but the reality is I had to make a choice. But I think football is the one of like the best sports for kids. And I would only retract that based on the concussions that I got with the inevitable damage that I know it's done to my short-term and long-term memory. Like, I know I'm not the same guy because I got busted up so many times. Like, on Sundays, I would get busted up. Like, my head would be beaten up because I was a tight end and a defensive end, and I used my head like I used my forearms, you know?
Wow.
So the problem was is I was always getting hit, and I was always beating up my head. So I used my head just, you know, my head was just as good of a weapon, as you know, as my as my body.
Yeah.
And I used it well. But it's not good for concussions. So my brain was rattled around a lot. So that would be the only reason why any person listening in would say football is a great sport. But, you know, long term, the damage that you might make to your brain and your other stuff like that might not be worth it for in certain areas. So you just got to watch out. And you know what? They've made helmets better, too. So maybe the concussion thing is a little bit less. Let's not get off too far off track.
Yeah.
That could be another whole conversation. So, Scott, let's bring it back to MLM stuff. And Maury, talk about his experience.
Yeah, I mean, and people can visit his YouTube channel and hear of his experience with Amway. But if you can go over that again here, Maury, that will give us a little bit more information for the show, and then we can discuss those things that you experienced. And this was just last year, right?
Yeah, it was a little over a year, but yeah, it might have been like at the beginning. So
beginning of
2023,
yeah.
Or like in the beginning of 23, yeah, like that time frame.
Gotcha. So go ahead, tell us, you know, what you were doing at the time, you know, as far as your life, and then how you were approached and how that whole thing kind of got started.
Okay, cool. Bear here with me, audience. Do it the best way I can remember it. So for the time, I was driving trucks like I currently do now. And I had went to church with a lady I was dating at the time. And it was out, it was probably an hour away from where I had lived at the time. So anyway, you know, I'm in the church, and great church, you know, great church, mixed church, you know, all races. And after church, you know, I was standing outside at the kind of near the park area, kind of waiting on her to come out. And this guy, he was, you know, watching the kids play, and he approached me, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And, you know, "Oh, hey, my name's Maury," you know, and he told me his name. And we started talking, and it started off just a regular conversation. Then he said, "You know, I've got some," he said, "What do you do?" And I told him what I did and all that good stuff. And he said, I've got some business opportunities for you. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Okay." And, you know, at the time, you know, the economy's kind of crazy. And I'm like, "Yeah, man, okay, Lord done brought me to the church, and he's about to bless me," you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting excited. So I'm like, "All right, cool." I said, But he didn't tell me what it was. He wouldn't tell me what it was. He just said, you know, he got my information, and he said, "When are you free to, you know, come back to this area and meet?" And I said, "I can come anytime. You know what I'm saying? I'm not too far away. I can come." So anyway, we set to meet, I believe it was that following, I'm not sure if it was Saturday or Sunday, but in that next weekend. So we arranged to meet, and we met up, and we talked. And he kind of still beat around the bush a little bit. But I'm trying to remember if he gave me a book to read. I think he gave me a book to read right away about Robert Kiyosaki. So anyway, read the book. Let me say this. Before he gave me the book, he said, "Now, it's up to you to read this book. You know, you can read it, when we meet back up, we'll talk about it, and, you know, we'll go from there. And I'll see if you qualify, you know, to work with me or work with us. And he said, or you cannot read it. And, you know, I just say, hey, man, have a nice day. It was nice knowing you, or whatever the case may be. So I said, cool. So, of course, walking away from him, I knew I was going to read that book because I want to, you know, I'm trying to get that money. So anyway, came back, read the book. We met up. I told him all about, you know, we went through the book. He's like, okay, good, good, good. It looks like you're, looks like, man, you might be cut out for it, man. You know, and I believe he'd eventually brought somebody else in to also talk to me. But, and when they came, you know, they're talking about, yeah, man, you went to school, you were a great football player, like just giving me this big rundown, like pretty much building me up, like, man, you built for this, man, you are ready for this. And so and then the guy eventually said, well, you know, with any great business, you know, there's got to be a product. So that's when he introduced the different products that we would be selling, or I would be selling, rather. And, you know, we went through that, and then it started asking about the lady I was dating at the time, like, you know, where is she at? Like, you know, we got to get her involved in this, too. And I'm like, well, hold on. I'm, in my head, I'm thinking, like, well, you got to convince me first. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on here, and you trying to bring somebody else in. Like, I need to know, why am I here? You know, so anyway, so, you know, I think I might have read another book, and we talked about it. And then they started introducing, like, or I don't know if it was through Instagram or through the videos I was watching, but they were showing, like, other people who was a part of their network who were very successful, who were millionaires. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, he started off, he only had this amount of sales, and now he's got this amount of people under him, and he's doing this and he's doing that. And, you know, he went to this school and gave away 100 pairs of shoes and just all this wild stuff. You know, I'm like, whoa, he was able to do that? And they're like, yeah, I mean, these guys, they bless people, they do this, they do that. You know, so all the while, you know, telling me, you know, asking me about my contacts, you know, who can you get? What about your family members? Can you get them to join? Will they support you? How's that? And also, at the same time they're doing that, they're also saying block out the naysayers. And they're still not telling me that it's quote-unquote Amway, you know, I guess because at this time, people had probably started making some videos and kind of giving it a bad name. So they never did come out and really tell me. Like, they eventually did, but it took them a while. And, yeah, so I was, you know, I was drinking the Kool-Aid, and my lady friend at the time was kind of, like, skeptical just in general about the guy. I mean, I guess she maybe had seen him at the church before or something like that. And she was just like, yeah, I just don't know about him. You know, I don't know if I would do it. And, you know, me, I'm thinking, like, oh, she tripping. Like, nah, I'm about to make this money. You know, so anyway, kept going, kept meeting with them, kept reading the books. And I think they had a meeting in the Greensboro area. And this is where there were going to be a lot of people who are already in and some people who were, like, prospects. And, you know, I went to it. I believe since it was my first time, it was free for me, but anybody else who already didn't get their first go or they already had their first try, I think they had to pay like $10 each time they went to these meetings, so they had to pay to go to these meetings. And we're getting the meetings, and everybody's happy, excited, fired up. And the guy who had brought me on, you know, he's following me around the room. Oh, I want you to meet this guy, and I want you to meet this girl, and I want you to, so, you know, introduce me to all these people. And I'm like, all right, cool, cool, cool. But he's watching me closely, though. I think he's trying to make sure I don't get to any of the other new prospects so I can ask them, like, how's it going for you? Like, what do you think about this? Are you making any money? So they're trying to, like, piggyback on me, because every time I would try to, you know, talk to one of the new people, they would kind of pull me away and be like, oh, did you meet this person? it got to the point just I'm like, I met this person three times. How many times are you going to ask me that I meet this person? So, you know, it was getting kind of like, kind of getting a little fishy. And I had already kind of heard some things to the grapevine. I'm not sure if I had saw a different YouTube video on it, talking, speaking against it or what, but I was kind of getting skeptical because I was kind of like, when I would ask him, hey, man, how long you been doing it? He would always brush it off like, man, I don't want to tell my age, man. I don't want to tell my age. So he would never answer some of the questions I asked direct because I'm thinking like, because so many people be like, oh, well, you can retire in like 5 years. And I'm thinking like, well, that's why I would ask, well, how long you been doing it? Because y'all, some of the guys who you introducing me to, they still work their regular jobs. They're still in their careers that they do. They're not telling me they don't do nothing. But he would tell me, you know, I retired my wife and, you know, I don't work, you know. But other people, though, they would have jobs and careers. They still currently doing it. It wouldn't add up. I'm like, well, hold on. If they're making all this money, why would they go work somewhere else? Because I know for me, if I'm making this type of money you talking about, I ain't working nowhere, you know. I'm be chilling, you know, doing what I want to do. But anywho, so that kind of went on, and I think they started. I was just waiting for them to really start telling me to start, like, okay, we need you to pay this, we need to pay, because he held off on that for a little minute. He kind of took his time with making me really pour any money out. But when I was talking to other people, they was like, man, I'm 50,000. No, I'm 5,000 in, 10,000 in, 20,000. I'm like, no way. And one day we sat down at this restaurant, me and him, at like a Starbucks. And he broke down the chart to me like, yeah, you get this people, this people, you make this amount of money, that's how much your bonus going to be. And he's just breaking down the diagram and then showing me the sapphires, the diamonds, you know, all these different levels. But when he broke down like, yeah, if you sell X amount of the product, this would be a bonus. That's when I raised the eyebrow, like, what? Like, that's it? Like, I can sell $2,300 worth of product, and my bonus is $200? I'm like, heck no, I ain't going to never make no money doing this. So eventually I kind of like, it kind of set in, and it hurt because I'm like, dang, I was really set. Like, this is what's going to take me out of having to clock in every day. You know, but when I realized, like, nah, like, it's going to take hard work. They telling you to hit, like, grocery stores, just go all these places and spark up conversation with people in which I can do that. Like, I'm good. I'm a people person. I can talk. But I'm like, man, I don't, you know, it just wasn't adding up. So I was just like, nah, because what happened, they're going to have you out here looking crazy if you buy into it. And you're going to burn up all your money because what would happen is if you signed up and you got the product, if you didn't sell enough product, they would ask you to go online to the site and spend your own money to meet the quota, so to speak. And that's how people start losing the money because they got to use their own money and they got to go in. And the reason why they want your spouse or your partner to get in too, because they don't want anybody doubting it. They don't want to break up any households. They don't want to do any of that. So they want both people in on it together, you know, and, as time went on, he would ask me, you coming to the next meeting? And I just told him, I said, you know what? Nah, I think I'm going to take a break. And he was like, huh? Huh? You take a break? I said, yeah, I don't know. I said, let me think about it. Let me just see what I want to do. You know, he was really getting adamant on texting me and calling me. He was really worried. So he just kept coming at me. Then he was like, well, I'll tell you what. If you don't want to be a IBO or you don't want to do it, could you at least be one of my customers? So when he asked me to be one, I knew he was tripping in. I'm like, oh, you're trying to get me. I done learned all this stuff about everything that's going on. He think I'm about to be one of his customers. Like, I'm like, he really tripping now. But anyway, so I got away from it and I said, you know what, I want to do a video on this. And I might be leaving some parts out, but, you know, so I spoke about it. And since then, I've been able to, take YouTube away from it. I've ran into, like, I was at my wife, she does something with she had an event at like a Italian sports car place where they have all these foreign cars and stuff. And there's this young man, I saw him, he ran track. And he's really good. He could go pro in track. I think he's graduating this year. But anyway, we didn't know each other personally, but he happened to be at this event. I'm like, wow, that's the guy I saw on the track. You know, and anyway, he approached me. We talked for a while. And near the end of our conversation, he said, yeah, let's exchange numbers. I might have an opportunity for you. So, and then I said, oh, okay, what you got going on? And then he mentioned Amway. And I just bust out laughing. I said, oh, really, Amway? I said, no, man. I said, let me tell you about Amway, man. He was like, what? And I broke this whole thing down to him, this whole story down to him. And he was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I'm about to go in. I said, I'm serious, man. I said, I gave him my YouTube channel. I said, go watch this video. Go watch my video on YouTube. And he went, and he called me. He said, I thank you, man. He said, you saved me, man. I was about to go all in. He said, this stuff wasn't adding up. I said, I'm glad I ran into you, man. I said, and that's like one story, but there's been a few other people I ran into in real life who I kind of told about that, and they're like, wow, I never knew that you saved me. So anyway, that's the story on that. I hope I broke it down well.
Yeah, that's interesting, Maury. One of the things that we know is that Amway was sued back in 2007 by some people who got kicked out. And the very next day, I'm talking literally the next day, they filed a lawsuit against Amway. And one of the things in that lawsuit, and you can find it on my websites, by the way, so you know I'm not blowing smoke. You can go look this up yourself on my websites, is that Amway had a third party come in. Then the basic question was, how many of our sales are retail sales? You know, how many customers do we have? And the answer came back, it's 3.4% of the total sales.
Oh.
So, you know, the other 96.6 or whatever it is just the IBOs buying the products, either using them or them stacking up in their garage. There's a term called garage qualified, where you just build up inventory because, like you said, if you can't sell the stuff, then you're encouraged to buy it yourself. It's all that self-consumption stuff. So the reason we know this is because the people that got kicked out had access to a confidential study that Amway did to come up with this 3.4% figure, and it was in the lawsuit. Now, Amway countersued them and eventually won, but it's interesting because the countersuit did not deny the 3.4%. You know, they didn't say, well, you took it out of context or, you're wrong or anything like that. What Amway sued them for was disclosing confidential information. So,
oh, wow. Oh,
that's how
man.
They got in trouble. And you can find that if you go on my websites and just type in 3.4%, you know, the percentage sign, you'll see the lawsuit. You can see it right in there, where they sued Amway for that low, low retail sale amount. Now, there's no federal law that defines what the minimum is. Okay, that's unfortunate in my opinion. There should be, a minimum there that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, requires. But the FTC did settle with two companies back in 2016, a company called Vima and another one called Herbalife. And in both of those cases, the minimum retail sales was about 50%. In Vima, it was 51% minimum retail sales versus distributor consumption. And in Herbalife, it's a little bit more complicated. There's like a sliding scale between one-third and two-thirds, but the middle of that is 50%. And so that's kind of where I draw the line. You know, you got to have at least half of your products or services or more, the minimum, going to customers, or else you're an illegal pyramid like I described earlier in the show. So it is interesting how, people talk about selling Amway. What they're really doing is selling self-consumption and then having other people self-consume, and that's where most of the buying comes from. In fact, my former upline, a guy by the name of Don Wilson, who was part of the group that got kicked out back in 2007, they had a very common phrase in our group, and it was, buy from yourself and teach others to do the same. Okay? So you're not really buying from yourself, are you? You're buying from Amway. But it is kind of from yourself because it's, you know, it's your business, and, you know, you get a bonus when you buy the stuff. So I understand, you know, the general concept of buying from yourself versus buying from Walmart, for example. You know, they're not going to give you a bonus back. So it kind of makes sense. Buy from yourself and then teach others to do the same. Of course, there's no mention of retail in there. And our upline really never taught us other than just in passing, you know, to sell products. There was never an understanding that, and this is in the Amway rules. I know you never got in, so you may not have been exposed to this, but in the Amway rules, you are required on a monthly basis to either have 10 different customers or a minimum of 50 PV of customer volume. 50 PV is about $170. And any month you don't do that, you're not supposed to get your downline volume bonus. So even if you have just a few people in your business, that's where most of your profit's coming from, is your downline. And that completely is not paid to you. Now, Amway does not enforce that rule. I'm living proof. I can guarantee they don't enforce that rule. They're starting to get a little bit more serious, but not, I don't think they're getting real serious. And these things come and go, because I was in Amway for a dozen years, and I've seen it go up and down as far as, you know, they'll emphasize it a little bit for a short period of time, and then it goes away. Then it comes back a little bit, and it goes away. And you see these patterns when you're in, you know, for a period of time about how they're really not serious about it. It's one of these things that's just kind of, I always tell people, it's like my mom used to drink hot tea, you know, by passing a tea bag over the hot water. You know, she would barely dip it in. And that's kind of the amount of emphasis they put on retail sales. And I do think they're getting more serious about it now. But it's going to be very difficult for people to sell overpriced products. You know, that's my simple thesis, if you will, is unless the prices are reduced dramatically, most people are not going to be able to sell the products because they're expensive. And you just can't sell expensive products to most people. Now, if you know some wealthy people, sure, but most people don't know a lot of wealthy people. So it's really a hard spot to be in, and I'm certainly campaigning for that 50% minimum to be, if not the law, at least an understood rule, right? That MLMs have an understanding you got to have at least 50% going to customers. Because I think if that was really being emphasized by the Federal Trade Commission, most MLMs would either completely go out of business because there's just not enough profit left over, or they would do like AdvoCare. There's a company called AdvoCare back in 2019. When the FTC approached them, they got rid of the MLM model and they went to the direct selling model, which is where there's no upline or downline. Every individual is connected directly to the company. And the money you make is a commission from what you sell to customers, right? There's no upline or downline, so you're on your own and your own sales skills, and that's where you make your profit from. So that's a way of being able to reduce their prices because now they don't have multiple layers to pay out to people like they do in an MLM. And so they can reduce the prices and actually make the products more price competitive. I think most MLMs would go down one of those two paths if the FTC woke up, you know, and understood that little concept a little bit better than what they do. Now let me ask you a question. What if, because this just went into effect this year, 2024, what if when you were approached, they told you that to join Amway, it's normally around $60, and that's being waived for the first year, and also you could get your tools for free for the first year. What do you think you would have done as far as reacted to those things, which, by the way, are in effect right now? And there's a video on my Facebook page, and I'll give that out. It's facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, ScottTexJohnson. There's a Rumble video by a guy by the name of Joe Markowitz, who just finished up as the IBO AI chairperson, and he made a video announcing this, and it's about, a 7 or 9 minute video, and on two different places on that video, he said the sole reason, this is quote unquote, the sole reason that we have tools is to help a new IBO become successful and have, you know, a long-term successful business. He didn't mention anything about making multiple times more from the tools than he did from Amway. He just said the sole reason we do this is to help, you know, the new IBOs. But let me just ask you, if you didn't know they were making most of their money from the tools, would that have been something that maybe you would have joined?
Okay, and the tools are the products, right?
No, the tools are the meetings, the books, the recordings,
all of that.
Is the tools. So if those were free for the first year, now the second year you have to start paying for them, but you can get these for free the first year. Now, if it's a meeting, you still have to pay your travel costs, right? So if there's a meeting, and I went to several meetings across the country, you would still have to pay your transportation, your meals, you know, your hotel, all of those you would still have to pay for, but your tickets would be free for the first year. Do you think that would have enticed you more?
I would have, I probably would have, if I would have had to pay 60 up front, that probably would have, I'm more skeptical when I have to pay something up front.
Right.
They didn't make me pay anything, so I was just kind of just having to travel and talk with them.
Yeah, now the 60,
meet with them.
The $60 goes to Amway. That's their entry fee, if you will. The upline doesn't get any part of that. And then if you renew, you know, the second, third, fourth, whatever, it's about $60 per year. And it's basically to cover administratively, you know, having you in their system. Also, you know, you have access to their customer service and all of that kind of thing. That's what the $60 is for. Now, the tools, you know, you would have paid literally hundreds of dollars a month for the tools, which would, for the first year, be free, you know, minus all those other costs I mentioned.
I don't think they lured him in that far, Scott. I don't think he was lured in to that degree yet. I think he quit, like, even thinking about joining before he was exposed to the tool scam.
No, I agree. And this was not in place a year plus ago, Maury, when you were approached. But I'll bet you, I don't know this, but I'll bet you part of the deal when they talk to prospects, you know, people that they're trying to get to join, is to mention that, to say, hey, you can join Amway for free. It used to be 60 bucks, whatever. You can get the tools for free for the first year. And I'll bet you they make that as part of the, you know, the sale, if you will, to join.
Let's ask Maury. Maury, you were exposed kind of towards buying the Amway products. Did they ever tell you how much it was going to cost you to, quote unquote, run your business? Did they discuss, like, you're going to have to come to events, or you're going to have to buy these tapes or MP3s, or you're going to have to subscribe to an app, and here's going to be your monthly expenses for running the business, not just buying the product? Did you ever get exposed to that?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so they were telling me how much it was to get the app. I don't think that it was a fee, but I don't think it was like outrageous. It might have been like the number that's coming to my mind is like, was it 30 a month? I can't really remember. I think it was less than 50. So I did get the, you know, they did tell me like I was going to have to start paying for the tools. I think they were, I don't know if my, he was real, it was almost like me and him, like we were good friends. It was almost like he was afraid that if he told me too much that I was going to kind of just be like, oh, forget all this. So he kind of didn't throw it out. But it came a time, because I'm pretty sure the people, his upline, whoever was over him, I'm pretty sure they were telling him, all right, you're going to go ahead and have to tell him, hey, it's time to, he's going to have to pay this. He's going to have to pay. I could just feel that he was getting pressured from them. I had a distinctive way I've forgotten since then, but it was something going on, and I could tell that it was coming from over his head, like them telling him, I can't remember what it was, but something happened, and I was like, is this something they're telling you to do now? You know, and that's when I kind of was, like, starting to back away, kind of like, okay, I thought this was something you was running, and you were just kind of trying to help me get mine rocking and rolling. Now I get this sense of, nah, it ain't you. It's somebody over you telling you, all right, now you got to tell him to do this. So that's when I kind of was like, nah, because, yeah, he started running all that by me, all the numbers and stuff like that. And that's when I was like, all right, here comes the BS. And that's when I started backing up.
And by the way, Maury, the person that was promoting this to you, whether it's the Amway products or the tools, you know, the meetings and the recordings and the books and all that, they are probably not aware that their upline is making most of their profit from the tools. Most IBOs do not know that. In fact, I think I mentioned to you earlier today when we were talking, Amway told a group that wanted to pay out all the way up and down the chain for tools that only 2% maximum can make a profit from the tools, and the other 98% should not even know that there's an opportunity. So that person that was promoting to you, unless they were, you know, either a platinum or an emerald, particularly an emerald, probably was not aware that they were making all this money from the tools. Now, they were concerned about the money it would cost you, you know, and you know, perhaps you would back out when you heard those costs. But they probably are not aware that that's where most of the profit comes from for that upper layer of distributors. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I asked you the question, what if the tools were free and there was no joining fee for Amway for the first year? You know, would that have maybe changed your mind?
Yeah. Because it was free at first. Oh, but you're saying like for the whole year. Well, I probably would have still, because I would have still saw what I saw from everybody else who was talking about it online. And I think it wouldn't, because the thing about me is I don't like to waste too much time doing anything, like if I'm trying to like make money. So if I would have, even me doing the math when he broke down, yeah, if you sell this amount of this product, this is your bonus, and this is just how many points you get, I would have saw that and been like, man, it's going to take me forever to make some real money doing this. So I would have thought it was, I would have called BS on that part right there. Even if it wasn't going to cost me but so much, I kind of like, it's got to hit home. Like I'll give a lot of things a chance. So I look and say, you know, I'm a bright guy. I can speak well. Yeah, I can get these people like talking to me. I can maybe make something shake, but it's got to make sense though when I break it all the way down. If I break it all the way down, and I say, nah, man, but even if you get six people up under you, you got to work them. You got to make sure they're doing this. What if they ain't like you? What if they can't pull people in like you? You're going to be out of luck. I mean, you're going to have people under you, but if they ain't making no money, it don't mean nothing. So I think I would have still backed out just because it would have seemed too hard to make the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you had other factors in play in your own mind. Which that wouldn't have changed the game, which is great to hear, because I think at least some people, you know, would join. They say, well, it's not going to cost me that much. So it's good to hear you know, from your perspective, that it would not have changed your mind? Because I believe the reason they're doing that, because this is the first time they've ever done it, to my knowledge. Amway has never done this before. And it's in their rules, too. If you look at their current rules, in fact, I learned this just about a week ago. I happened to be looking at Amway's rules for a completely different reason. I just kind of tripped across this. And it says very clearly in there that if you're an approved provider, which I think, well, I know LTD is, and I think all of the other major tool scans are also approved providers, that this is in effect for them. The only way they can get approved is to make this offer of free tools. Now, Peter and I have talked about this on a previous show that one of the things that's not included is books. Now, books actually cost them a little bit of money. Now, they sell them at full cover price, right? If you go to a bookstore and you're paying the full cover price, it's right on the book jacket, that's what they charge you. But when they buy in bulk, they're paying maybe a third or even a fourth of the cover price, but they turn around and charge the distributors, the IBOs, full cover price. So they're cleaning up on the books. And so even though they're cleaning up on the books, they do have to pay a little bit for them. But the other things, you know, when you think about it, the meetings, well, if the meetings are free for the first year people, that just means that you get in free, but they're still paying for, you know, the rent of the room, and all the other attendees that are there are paying for that, and any leftover money is profit, you know, whether it's a small meeting or a large meeting. If it's things like the recordings, you know, on your phone, the phone app and all that, that's not going to cost them hardly anything to allow another person to listen to it, right? Because it's all electronic. There's no physical cassette tapes anymore, for example. And so it's very inexpensive, almost free, for them to offer these free tools for the first year. And so they're not really losing much money is my point, when they offer these things for free. But they do make it more attractive, I think, to join. So I'm just really glad to hear that you had found some other aspects of that, of the deal, and determined that it was not a good deal. Now, when I joined in 1993, there was no internet, right?
Internet didn't come along
for another couple of years. There was really no information that was easily obtained for me to be able to verify what you were able to verify online. And so that's another good thing that's come along is the internet. And there's some people out there, you know, besides me, of course, that are talking about these things. Now, by and large, I don't think they're talking about the right things, but at least they're talking. So that's kind of, you know, how it goes down. A lot of people are complaining, but it's not really on target, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, was there anything more you wanted to add about Amway? Because I wanted to get into your other big project.
Okay. Now, were you saying now they the first year is free?
Yes.
For the meetings, I'm sorry, for the meetings.
Yeah, for all the tools, whether it's the meetings or the recordings. I assume it includes. Well, I don't know if it includes the voicemail. I don't know if it includes the website. I think it would include the website. And I think that $30 that you were talking about was probably either for the voicemail or the website or both.
Oh.
But I don't think it was for the recordings, because we had a guest on this show, Peter, and I'm pretty sure it was LTD. And I think there's different levels, right? I think there's, you know, a higher level and a middle level and a lower level. But she was paying $220 a month just to listen to recordings. That didn't include the meetings, didn't include the website access, didn't include the voicemail. That's only the recordings. $220 a month.
So
they're cleaning up. They're cleaning up. That's why I call it a scam. Is now, if they were honest about it and said, "Yeah, this is where most of our money comes from," I think most people would quit. Actually, the whole thing would fall apart.
Right.
And that's why they don't talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. So, but that's the deal. That's the new deal now. First year free tools and no no sign up fee to join Amway. Now the second year does kick in, but by then they hope to have you sort of bought into it, right? Because that's what they were trying to do initially. Because you met with them how many times before you backed out?
Oh man, probably I would say 6, 7, 8 somewhere in there. Like it was a lot. I mean, it was.
So they were trying to bring you along and slowly get you to decide this is a good deal. Now, I have to say there are some groups other than LTD and Worldwide Dream Builders, or Worldwide is another group. They tend to do what you experience. Some of the other groups like Jaeger and I think Brit, those are two other large organizations. They're very much more. Here you go, take it or leave it. You know, if you say I'm not interested, they just move on. And it's a one-time thing. You know, either you like it or you don't. If you like it, you're in. If you don't, you're out. And they, you know, they go on to the next person. So there's those two sort of approaches. One of them is that what I call slow dance they did with you, Maury. And then there's the other one that's just yes or no. You know, here it is, yes or no. And so there is that difference between groups as far as, you know, how they try to get you to join. Was there anything else about Amway or any other MLM stuff you wanted to mention?
Nah, that's good on that. That's good.
Fantastic. Because I do want to get to your other large project that you mentioned earlier, because – when I was looking at your Amway video, I thought, well, gee, this guy really understands what's going on. He told pretty much the same story that we've heard before, which is good because we know that the previous stories were also accurate. And it's always good, like I think I mentioned to you, Maury, you know, since Peter and I are a couple of old farts, you know, we were in years ago. Sometimes people say, yeah, that's how it was back then, but it's changed. Well, if you listen to some of our shows with recent experiences, it hasn't changed. Now, the Internet is new, of course, you know, but as far as the basic operation, it's the same, same exact thing, just a little bit more technology, basically. But anyway, you know, that's kind of, you know, the Amway side of things. But what I also wanted to talk with you about, because when I was looking at your Amway video, I thought, oh, what else does this guy have to say? And I came across the video that you did with two other guys, and I watched the short version, not the long version. I think it's about 19, 20 minutes, where you guys were talking about, you know, what happened to male leadership in this country. And it was a fascinating discussion that you had. Now, I'm gonna listen to the longer version when I have some time. But it was really interesting how you and the two of them really came at it very differently. And I just, you know, and Peter mentioned this earlier, because I agree with Peter, that football, even though I was a one-year football career, teaches you a lot. It really does. It teaches you a lot. And really any sport teaches you. But I think football, you know, most of all, because you're in there with a bunch of other guys, you know, you're grinding it out, you know, it's very physical. And to me, it's just the ultimate team sport, you know, when it comes to teamwork and that kind of thing. But what's really important there is, you know, your views on things and these other two guys' views on male leadership and how you came back to, you know, it's really individual responsibility. It's really up to each man to be a man. And they kind of push back on that. And I guess a question for you, I'm curious about this. What was your upbringing? You know, did you have, you know, what they call a nuclear family, a mother, father, brother, sisters?
Okay, so growing up, I grew up, you could say two households. My mom and dad were never married, but I did have a stepdad, and I had a stepmom. So when I would go over to my dad's house, you know, he was married, and I had my stepmom, and I had a stepbrother and two sisters. So I got two sisters on my dad's side, and I have a brother, an older brother on my mom's side. So I kind of had that split. But there was always, two parents, you know what I'm saying? For the most part, I mean, there were periods where it was just my mom when she wasn't married. But I had that. I had my mom, of course, stepmom, and I had father figures, and I had two father figures. A father,
so you did have,
father, you know.
You did have male influence then. You had male presence and influence.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key thing here. You know, ideally they're married, but I think it's, you know, even more important to have a male presence because, you know, how are you going to know what you're supposed to do as a man if there's no male presence? And I think, I think you agree, you know, in the black community, unfortunately, in this country, there's a very high percentage of kids being raised and there's either bad or no male presence. And I think a lot of kids, because I agree fundamentally with your views, but I also understand where they're coming from. You know, if there's no male presence or bad male presence, you know, what is a boy growing into a man? How are they supposed to understand what to do? Now, I would also guess, this is just a guess, that those other two guys didn't play particularly football, but maybe any other sport as well, you know, in their childhood or high school or whatever. Do you know about them as far as what their background is?
One of them, I don't think he played at all that I know of. He's maybe into, like, motorcycles, things like that. The other guy, he said he played some football, but I think he said he was a smaller guy, you know, so he only played up to like a certain level. So just he played some, but, you know, I hear a lot of guys, you know, they'll tell you they played, and in my mind, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you talk to them enough or long enough, you say, well, on what level? Because one guy was from he was from Indiana, and the other guy's here in North Carolina with me. You know, the other guy, actually one of the guys is like a distant cousin of mine, the one who's in North Carolina. But the other one, he found me through my YouTube channel, and he started writing me and inboxing me and said, hey, man, we got to do something together. I found your content. I love your content. You know, so that's how me and the guy from Indiana linked up.
Gotcha.
But as far as upbringing, he was saying it wasn't that great as far as his parents. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, I don't think sports is mandatory to be a man, but it certainly helps you. It just puts you on a right mindset, you know, playing competitive sports. I think that's a big advantage, you know, that people who do play sports have. Over those that don't, you know, not that you can't make it, but it helps as well as having, you know, both male and female presence in your upbringing. It's one of those things that a lot of, and again, you know, I'm not in any way racist, but percentage wise, there's just a lot of black people in this country who grow up with no male presence or very poor male presence, you know, bad examples. And that happens in all races, right? You know, whether you're white or whatever, it's just a higher percentage in blacks. And I'm sure that there's, you know, the black people out there that it's been 3, 4, 5 generations where this has been going on. So it's not like you can even go from your dad to your grandfather, you know, because it's been going on probably since the 1960s. When the intent was to help people, but they really gave stuff away and it really damaged people, you know, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Because when you give stuff away, people don't value it. And that's what they did. They gave
that's
stuff
right.
away. And if you don't earn it, you don't appreciate it, then, you know, it doesn't have meaning. And that's what I got out of your talk with them. Was that sort of just fundamental American, you got to work hard, you got to apply yourself, you know, you got to be an individual that excels or else you're just not going to be the person that you could be. And unfortunately, a lot of people, whether they're black or white or any other race, don't have that example like you did. Now, you could have also had a very bad example and still made it. It's just that the odds would have been less, you know, based on how you were brought up. So I just wanted to sort of make that comment and let you add anything more to it. And Peter, if you want to chime in here, because it's just a really interesting video, and I only watched the short version so far, and you've got a lot of other related videos on the same sort of topic, you know, of relationships and being a man and all those kinds of things, which we've really dumbed down in this country, right? We've made men into wussies. And, you know, it's just been a terrible thing over the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years that has happened to our society. And it's really politicians giving stuff away, you know, trying to make it easier rather than, you know, making people strive for something. But I'll stop there. I'll let you guys discuss this more. But I would highly recommend people go to your YouTube channels and consume these videos, you know, for their information and understand that there's people like you out there, Maury, who have good, solid fundamentals. You know, you're a God-fearing Christian, and there's so much less of that in our society now. And when I say God-fearing, I don't mean you're afraid. I mean you have respect for God. That's what fearing God means. It doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It means you respect God for being God. That's what that term means. Some people misinterpret even that simple little thing. But I just appreciate your voice out there, Maury, and encourage you to keep doing what you're doing because you've got the right message. And you know, you're a relatively young guy compared to me and Peter. You're, what, mid-30s? So you got a lot of years ahead of you.
36. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a lot of years ahead of you to keep promoting what you're doing, and I'll vote for you for president someday.
Hey, I appreciate that. Hey,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Me? Okay.
You
were
Peter.
So,
Peter, I don't know if you had a chance to watch that other video that I've been talking about.
I didn't see that video, so I'm going to check it out. So I'll definitely comment on that as well. I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, and if you, Maury, just want to make some comments about, you know, what I've been talking about, and you know, let me know if you agree or disagree with anything I said, because this is an open podcast. You know, we don't screen people. We don't tell them this is what you got to say. You know, you have your opinion based on your experience and your, you know, your research and all those things. And it's all valid. So, you know, if you think I'm wrong, you're free to say, hey, I think you're wrong, Scott. You know, I just want you to kind of have a chance to talk a little bit about that stuff because that's, you know, really important. As important as it is to, you know, go after these MLMs, I think that's even more important. So I'll just give you the floor, Maury, and let you, you know, kind of give people a little bit of an understanding of where you're coming from.
Okay, yeah, good deal. So to add a little more context, my dad is a deputy in this area. So, you know, he's military. But although he's that, I guess he doesn't – it's a lot of things that he doesn't necessarily speak on unless I kind of introduce the conversation. But outside of that, and I would say I'm actually probably more harsher firm on a lot of the things that I'm speaking of than he is. And maybe because we grew up in different times, who knows, to where I know now I have to jump out there and talk about it. Outside of that, just the overall view or vision, you know, the society is going downhill and it's going downhill fast. So, you know, I feel like, you know, it's my calling to step out here and be a leader of some sort. And I like to focus on, first, especially within, you know, let's just say the black, really all communities, But it really hits the black community probably the hardest in getting men and women to bond and have nuclear families and things of that sort. Because, you know, if you look at the stats, it shows where when you look at the jail or the prison system, the majority of the people in that system come from single-parent households. When you look at the kids who are failing in school and academics and things of that nature, those students tend to come from single-parent households, the kids who aren't, you know, meeting those standards. So what I try to do and push is in which I speak on everything that's going on that I see that God, you know, puts on my heart. But I want to push instead of this individualism. There's a lot of individualism going on. A lot of people want this independence. I don't need nobody. I can do my own thing. And basically what I'm trying to do is kind of bridge that gap saying, no, sure, maybe you can, but it's hard. It's a struggle. And everyone who goes down that path of independence or individualism is not going to succeed. So I'm trying to bring the people together because right now, to a large part, we have a gender war going on. You know, it's men versus women. And even as you tap into some of these social media sites, especially if you're on Facebook or if you're on YouTube, it's a lot of gender war stuff going on. And if you tap into Instagram, which is mostly pictures, you know, you have all these Instagram models and all these women, you know, posting all types of pictures trying to show everything. And, you know, the guys are just zooming into these women's DMs and inboxes, you know, trying to get with them and fly them out to whatever city or state they're in and paying money and paying all their bills. And it's just wild to where a lot of those women could easily settle down, start a family, get married, things of that nature, in which you would get married and then start a family. But, you know, they could do that. But with all these options, you know, it's like, nah, I ain't selling down. He about to send me this money. He about to send me that money. It's just so much going on to where, again, we go back to the stats. So I say, look at the jail and prison system. Look at who's in there, who's landing in there. Look at the academics and the lack thereof. What households are these people coming from, right? So, again, my thing is to bring these people together, and that's why I create the content that I create. And that's why I also created a business, which is fairly new. But I've been talking about it and studying it for years. I just finally decided, okay, we got it. Okay, let's the rubber meet the road, you know. And I created a course, and again, I said the coaching calls through the business, through the website. So that's my thing on that. And even outside of that, you know, but even with the video that you were speaking of, you know, I want men to be men again. Step up, be firm, be leaders. Stop finding by the wayside. Stop going by what everybody's talking about. Stop trying to see what the women like and then kind of molding into what they like. No, you got to be a leader first. And I say that a large part of why the society is failing is because a lot of men aren't standing up. Even the direction that the women are going in is because the men aren't standing up. If you don't choose to get with, say, a woman who was quote-unquote unruly, ghetto, this, that, and the third, if you choose to lead them where they at, eventually they're going to adapt. They're going to say, dang, how can I get that nice guy like that? Okay, I got to change up how I'm acting. I got to act like I got some sense. I got to be submissive, if you will, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Be cooperative, things of that nature. So it's a lot that goes into it. But men are definitely going to have to stand firm and be leaders and stop going with all the propaganda that's going on out here. You know, but I can go on and on about all this stuff. But definitely want people to check out the YouTube channels, check out the website, 6monthsandmarried.com. If there's someone who's looking to date, get in serious relationships, or marry, it'll hit whatever category it is, even if there's someone who wants to be knowledgeable on these things. In the course, I break these things down. In the calls, I break these things down, even if you're just looking like, well, I don't even know the first thing about dating. I don't know what sites to go to if I want to find someone to meet, or I don't know what type of places I should go to. I don't know, you know, even down to, you know, how they can work out and work on personal things, how to, you know, hair, your hair, your hygiene, you know, whatever it is you need to work on, you know, finances. But anyway, I try to touch on everything. But anywho, but yeah, I want people to visit and tap in. Everybody tap in.
Yeah, that's fantastic. If you can mention your website again, and it's the number 6, and then what's the rest of it? 6?
Yeah, the number 6 months and married.com. 6 months and married.com.
And that'll be on your guest page, too, probably within a day or two. And then you have 2 YouTube channels, and your Instagram and Facebook and TikTok that you mentioned earlier. That'll all be on your visitor page as well for people to know more about you and understand where you're coming from. And I just think it's a terrific thing that you're doing as far as promoting all these things. It's so much needed. And particularly someone like you, right? Because I could go out there and preach as a white guy, and I'll be rebuffed. I would be rebuffed, right? I would, you know, you're just a privileged white guy, but you're not. You're an African American,
right,
who, you know, grew up in a pretty good way. I wouldn't say it was perfect, but nobody's perfect. Even if you only had a mother and father, you know, there's no perfect mother and father that ever existed. So, you know, we're not going for perfection here.
Right.
But a lot of people, like you said in your video, Mari, you know, I'm not looking for excuses. And it was so good for you to stand firm on that, saying, look, you know, your background is your background. But if you start using your brain to think, then you can overcome a background. You're not locked into there. And I think that's the first step, is for people to realize that, for people to realize, hey, just because you didn't have a perfect start doesn't mean you can't excel. It just means you didn't have a perfect start. And you know, no matter what your start is, that doesn't have to be your finish. And by the way, it goes both ways. You could have a great start and then finish poorly too. So, you know.
Yeah.
But you can start poorly and finish great, and you're not even close to finish, and you're great. So I think we're getting towards the end here. Peter, did you have any more questions or comments for Maury?
Oh, all good stuff, and I'm going to check out the video so I can kind of keep up to speed with some of the stuff that you guys were referencing. And Maury, I appreciate the stuff that you do. You know, besides the story that you gave us here, the other stuff that you're working on, I'll reach out to you maybe. We'll make sure you have a guest page for those people listening in. If you find Maury Spease, S-P-E-A-S-E, he'll have a guest page on Building Fortunes Radio. We'll make sure that he puts up his links to all the different things that he's working on, and you guys will be able to help explore some opportunities with that too. And the whole society thing is another whole conference call. You know, it's another whole radio show. So maybe more, we can have you back talking about those things as well.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to come back sometime, Maury, and just do a deep dive into that, you're welcome to do that. I just wanted to first thank you for coming on, particularly since I only met you, around noon today on the phone.
Yeah.
and you're here, which is great. But was there anything that you were thinking of either before the show or during the show that we didn't get to that you wanted to mention? Was there anything, you know, as far as parting thoughts?
The only thing that I, when you were just now talking, I wanted to add, I came up in the hood, came up in a project, you know, didn't always have. And another thing that I didn't touch on when I was speaking, spirituality, you know, get these young men and women to lean into that spirituality, you know, whether it's Christianity or whatever it may be, but they're want to lean into that higher power. Like, don't just let you be the end of the road. Your way is the way to go. No, it's a higher power, you know. So that was the last thing I wanted to touch on that I didn't say. But other than that, everything sounds good.
So excellent. Well, again, thank you for being here. And glad to have you back again if you want to do a deep dive into that, or if we just want to talk football, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah.
No problem there.
Okay.
So Peter, this has been a great show. I appreciate you again, and I'll let you close us out. Thanks again, Maury.
Thank you.
Like I said, we'll make sure that Maury has a guest page on Building Fortunes Radio. Scott Johnson, thanks for being here. And anybody who wants to check it out, go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Scott-Johnson. Or if you click on the guest page, you can find the guest pages for anybody that's been here that has a special guest page as well. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.